The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
At this season of the year, there's a phenomenon that is playing a big part in your life and the lives of other people all over this world. I refer to the phenomenon of Christmas. Why Christmas? Why do people observe it? Why does it occupy such a great portion of their life and their life interest? Why is attention centered on it almost wholly for at least a month prior to Christmas, 1 month out of the year, and many people are spending much time in the 11 months previous to that in thinking about and planning for Christmas? There are Christmas savings plans, all kinds of things, and planning for it. People seldom stop to inquire in retrospect why they believe the things they believe, why they do the things they do. They don't know how they came to believe what they do. You might think about that sometime. How did you come to believe the things you believe? How did they find lodgment in your mind? You have convictions. You would argue to uphold your own ideas, your convictions, but how did you come to those convictions? How do you know that you are right and the other one is wrong? We all have ideas, and many of us are like sheep. You might say sheep going to the slaughter. One follows another and doesn't know where he's going or why he's going that way. And that's about like most people are. We're just like dumb sheep. And we go along because the crowd does, and we don't know why. Well, you'll be surprised at some of the answers. What keeps Christmas going? Does it celebrate the birthday of Christ? Did the early church observe it? Did the apostles observe it and the first century church of God? Does the Bible teach it? You'll be surprised to find that the Bible says nothing about it whatsoever.
That's an excerpt from Herbert W. Armstrong's television program. Back in December of 1981, The Plain Truth About Christmas. Some thought-provoking questions there in that introduction to the program. He went on to talk about December 25th, the birthday of Christ, supposedly. And he said that based on what the Bible reveals, one thing we absolutely know about Christ's birth is that it wasn't anywhere near December 25th. He was actually born in early or mid-autumn. And of course, the early New Testament church didn't observe this festival. It's nowhere mentioned in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach it. So if Jesus was born in the fall, not on December 25th, if Christmas was not among the festivals observed by the first century church, if it's nowhere mentioned in the Bible, if it was, as Mr. Armstrong explained in his booklet, The Plain Truth About Christmas, if it was instead introduced 3 centuries after Christ, and if the Roman Catholic Church established the holiday on the same day as the idolatrous festival of Brumalia, that was a popular pagan custom celebrated throughout the Roman Empire, if these are the facts, then why do so many people today observe this holiday as a supposedly religious festival that supposedly honors the birth of Christ? Shouldn't we consider these questions? Or, as Mr. Armstrong said there in that clip, are we to just go along like dumb sheep? Today I want to give you just a little bit of history about Mr. Armstrong's church. That quote was from 1981. As I said, he died in 1986, January of 1986. And when you look at what happened to that church after he died, after Mr. Armstrong's death, I think that history alone shows why there are so many people in the world today who are quite happy to just go along with these customs, these traditions of men. When you look at what happened to the Worldwide Church of God after Herbert Armstrong died, it shows how easy it is to just drift along with the crowd. Leaders come along and make these dramatic changes, unbiblical changes, and people, the masses, the majority, just go right along. They don't stop to question. They don't stop to ask, well, why? Wait a minute. Hang on. Is it in the Bible? Is it what God teaches? If you look at that church, as I say, at the time of Mr. Armstrong's death, early 1986, I mean, he left behind a church. This was not some small organization by any means. 1,200 ministers. 725 congregations around the world in 57 countries. That church had a weekly worldwide attendance of 120,000 people. And that there were nearly twice that many that were supporting the work as co-workers. They didn't attend the weekly service, but they donated money to the church. As I say, this was not a small organization. Herbert Armstrong was one of the most prominent televangelists of his day, if not the most prominent of the 20th century. How about that? You can look at some of this history if you'd like to dig into it further. It's in our free book, Raising the Ruins. It not only gives you the history of Mr. Armstrong's work leading up to his death, it tells you about what happened after he died. But going back to that time before his death, millions upon millions of people were very familiar with Mr. Armstrong's teachings, mostly because of the World Tomorrow program. That's where I got that clip that I played at the top of the show. And, of course, the Plain Truth magazine. That was going out to more than 8 million subscribers at the time of his death. And then you add to that the many books and booklets and pamphlets. These two going out to tens of millions of people. In fact, Mr. Armstrong distributed 35 million booklets during his 50-year ministry. 35 million booklets. And did you know one of the most popular titles was The Plain Truth About Christmas? That church mailed that booklet to more than 2 million households. I think the most popular booklet ever was The Seven Laws of Success. That went to about 3 million. So here is The Plain Truth About Christmas, surely in the top 10. 2 million households worldwide, one of the most popular titles ever produced by Herbert Armstrong. And in that little booklet, he proved how Christmas is not a Christian festival after all. Its true origins, he explains in this booklet of his, the origins were actually rooted in Babylon, the city of Nimrod. And then you go forward in the history and see that it wasn't until the 4th century AD that this Babylonian custom was given a Christian-sounding name. And it was given that by the Roman Catholic Church, as I said a moment ago. Now, that's just the truth. That's just the historical and biblical, you could add. That's the truth. And with the internet today, I mean, you can pretty much get to the bottom of this subject on your own in an hour or two. We have a lot of material that will help you if you'd like. The Truth About Christmas. If you go to thetrumpet.com today, in fact, you can see quite a bit up there. That will help you in your study. But even if you don't go to thetrumpet.com, even if you don't want The Truth About Christmas, a simple Google search can tell you a lot of the truth. Of course, the trouble with that is you have to sift through truth and error, typically. Our literature will do that for you. In any event, you go back to this history, the 4th century. Emperor Constantine, if you know a little bit about him, he was a Catholic convert. The emperor of the Roman Empire, he was a Catholic convert. And he wanted to keep Christianity or put Christianity on an equal footing with paganism. There were quite a few pagan customs throughout the empire. And instead of fighting to keep the world out of the church, the Roman church, he wanted to blend it together with paganism. He wanted to make it easier for pagans to become Christian. All this is explained in Mr. Armstrong's booklet, The Plain Truth About Christmas. And because of this teaching, which is grounded in truth, tens of thousands of Worldwide Church of God members, even many of the co-workers, they didn't observe Christmas or the associated holidays that are so popular today, New Year's, Easter, and so on. A lot of people like myself grew up in the Worldwide Church of God and never observed the Christmas holiday. But after Mr. Armstrong's death, after he died in January 1986, a group of scholars, a few of the church's highest-ranking ministers, they essentially wanted to do what Constantine did. Early on, they tried to blend Mr. Armstrong's teachings with the customs of this world. Now, later on, of course, they just flat-out rejected what Mr. Armstrong taught and joined in with everyone else in the world. But if you go back, even before Mr. Armstrong died, you can see this effort, this attempt to liberalize, to water down the truth, to blend it together with the pagan traditions and customs of the world. If you look at the Bible story, the most recent version of that was produced by the Worldwide Church of God in 1982. The original version, however, it was produced back in the 1960s, and in that six-volume set, there's quite a lot of history about the establishment of civilization after the flood. It explained how Noah preached God's truth and prophesied about the coming Messiah. To quote the Bible story, the 82 version, sorry, this would have been the 1960s version, it says something happened back then that to cause men to believe that the Son of God had come to earth shortly after the flood. That's what it says in the original version. He goes on to explain, Basil Wolverton was the one who put those publications together, the Bible Story series, and he went on to explain how that Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, how they established a Babylonian religious system as a great counterfeit to what Noah had been preaching, as a great counterfeit to God's true religion. Wolverton wrote, there in ancient Babylon was born, or rather were born, the false beliefs that have wormed their way into almost every religion. Even today, millions and millions of people who may want to live according to the right ways are not aware that their manner of worship follows very closely that of ancient idol worship and pagan rites begun at Babel. Now, what I just read to you there, and more along with it, including Nimrod's plans to rule the earth, his wife's successful attempt to make a false god out of her slain husband, all of that was deleted from the 1982 version. The new version comes along just a couple, 3 years before Mr. Armstrong dies, and it doesn't contain any of that critical history about the development of civilization after the flood, about the establishment of this Babylonian religious system. It makes you wonder, who removed that text? How was it done? Why would they remove it? Why would they take it out? Like I say, that was 4 years before Mr. Armstrong died. And in those last years, as you might know, his eyesight had begun to fade. He was an old man. I'm sure he couldn't keep up with every single publication that the church was producing. However it happened, some editors came along and saw fit to delete that critical history about Nimrod and Semiramis and that Babylonian religious system. Well, then Mr. Armstrong dies in January 1986. And then the editors really went to work. Then they concentrated on The Plain Truth About Christmas, one of the most popular booklets ever produced by the Worldwide Church of God. And in that booklet, Mr. Armstrong wrote Nimrod. He had some of the same history that was right there in that Bible story volume, the original one. He said Nimrod, grandson of Ham, son of Noah, was the real founder of the Babylonish system that has gripped the world ever since. That's from Mr. Armstrong's original booklet, The Plain Truth About Christmas. That statement that I just read to you, along with the rest of a paragraph that talked about the idolatrous system that originated in Babylon, all of that was cut from the 1987 version of the Christmas booklet. They still kept Mr. Armstrong's byline on it. His name was in the front of that booklet, but it was very different, even a year and a half after he died. How about that? Why would they take that out? That history about Nimrod, that history about Babylon. I mean, you go to the end of the Bible, in Revelation 18, it says, come out of Babylon. That's a prophecy for the end time. If you read through those last chapters of Revelation, it's important. It's important to know that history, to go back to the beginning of the movie and to understand how things got established and started. Well, here they're making these strategic edits in the 1987 booklet. And then 2 years later, in August of 1989, even the watered-down version of The Plain Truth About Christmas, it didn't make it. It was discontinued. Less than 4 years after Mr. Armstrong died, one of the most popular booklets the Worldwide Church of God ever produced, and it's gone. It's gone in less than 4 years. And the church leaders at the time, they explained the decision by saying, well, it just had to do with a few little inaccuracies. But they were lying. They were lying. There was an agenda, and it had started even before Mr. Armstrong died. They wanted to change this doctrine. They wanted to go back to Babylon. And those pagan traditions and customs. So they removed the booklet in 1989. They say it's a few little inaccuracies. And then the following year, in 1990... the Worldwide Church of God published Christmas, The Untold Story. Christmas, The Untold Story. And do you know what the basic message of that booklet was? It was this. We still don't celebrate Christmas, but if you do, we're totally fine with that. I mean, this represented a dramatic change. And yet, because it was done so deceitfully, so treacherously, little by little, over the course of several years, so many people in the church, that Worldwide Church of God, so many people in that church just went right along with it. Now, there were a few longtime members mostly, that saw these new publications, Christmas, The Untold Story, that basically said, you know, if you keep it, that's okay so much. But some were getting quite upset. Some of the longtime members, looking at these changes, Christmas wasn't the only change. Again, go and get Raising the Ruins. Study that book. Get familiar with that history. But on this one, yes, several were quite upset. Those who protested the church's direction, like my parents, they were quickly excommunicated. That happened to my father in December of 1989. And thus began the Philadelphia Church of God, the church that sponsors this radio station, the church behind thetrumpet.com, the church that's produced the truth about Christmas, a booklet that's based on Mr. Armstrong's old classic, that popular booklet that went to 2 million households, The Plain Truth About Christmas. Well, early on, those of us in the Philadelphia Church of God, we were desperately trying to warn the members of the Worldwide Church of God about this deceitful transformation, about what was going on in their own church. We tried to warn them from the outside. We were saying that if you now believe Christmas did not originate in Babylon, and that passages like Jeremiah no longer have to do with the Christmas tree and its pagan origins, then you're on the road to celebrating Christmas. And many of those members in the Worldwide Church of God scoffed at those warnings. They said, that's ridiculous. So we've made a few small changes. We'll never observe Christmas ourselves. And the changes kept coming. They kept coming faster than ever. Back in 1989, 1990, 1991. In 1991, Joseph Tkach, this is the man that Mr. Armstrong selected to succeed him as pastor general. Joseph Tkach wrote in The Plain Truth, this is from 1991, he said, are all the activities surrounding Christmas wrong? Is there anything wrong with giving gifts? Certainly not. Is there anything wrong with rejoicing that Jesus was born? Of course not. Is it then appropriate to avoid having a special dinner with the family on Christmas Day? No. Is it wrong to fellowship and talk about Jesus at Christmas time? No. Again, these were, well, they should have been shocking changes. But they were changes made over the course of 7, 8, 9 years. Now, in that 1991 article, The Plain Truth, Mr. Tkach, he did acknowledge that Christmas was linked to the birthday of the invincible sun, that it was linked to paganism, in other words. But by that point, I mean, it had become obvious, it should have been obvious, that the WCG's position on Christmas had basically been placed on equal footing with the pagan traditions of men. This is what Constantine wanted. Well, you move forward in the history. By early 1995, WCG ministers were required, they were required now to teach that Christmas was a legitimate form of Christian worship, that it was acceptable in God's sight. This is how they explained it in a correspondence letter at the time from 1995. We do not teach that it is a sin for Christians to do things that originated in paganism. We do not teach that it is a sin to participate in paganism. It depends on the person and what they do with it. Whether it's pagan or not, it doesn't matter. It just depends on the person. Paganism is fine. It depends on what you do with that particular observance. And of course, that's the very same reasoning that so many today used to justify observing Christmas. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are well aware of the pagan origins, that know that its traditions are rooted in idolatry and lies. A lot of people know about the many negative side effects of this season of merriness, as they call it. The pre-holiday stress, the post-holiday depression. And who knows how long it might take to dig out of debt after the holidays are over. A lot of people know that for most Westerners, even the so-called religious, they know that for most people, Christmas is pretty much a highly commercialized, very much secular event that's more associated with shopping malls and drinking parties than it is with religious worship. A lot of people know that for policemen at this time of year, it's the busiest time for them. It's the most dangerous time in many areas. They say Jesus is the reason for the season. But look at the season, as Mr. Armstrong encouraged us to do. Why in this season are there so many sharp increases in all sorts of criminal behavior? Drunk driving, domestic abuse, thievery, scams, and so on. Well, people turn a blind eye to reality. And they reason much the way the Worldwide Church of God did in 1995. Well, it just depends on the person and what they do with it. That's the bottom line for so many people. If you want to be religious, or if you want to take pagan festivals and turn them into religious observances, that's fine. That's fine. It'll bring the family together, and you can stamp Christ's name on it, and everything's okay. My father has a Key of David program posted at thetrumpet.com. I think he made it last year or a year before. It's titled The Hidden Danger of Keeping Christmas. You should go and watch that at the website today. I'll play a short clip for you right now. This is from his Key of David program last year.
There are many people who keep Christmas know that it does have a pagan origin. And they say, well, they still think it's good and what they're doing is right and good. But there is something subtle and hidden here that we need to be aware of, that all of us need to be aware of. Anything that has to do with God is certainly, we're supposed to be related to what God did and all of that. Well, all of us need to be concerned about that. I think we can all agree on that too. So what is that danger? If you check those pagan customs, you'll see that every single one of them began with some kind of a rebellion against God. Now that's just the biblical truth as well as the truth of many secular sources as well as religious sources.
That's just the plain truth. I mean, for something to be established on the premise of rebellion against God, isn't that something that we should look into? Are we just going to go along like dumb sheep and accept whatever it is society tells us is right and religious and holy? Again, if you go back into your history, look at when this festival was first established. It was long after the first century church, long after the original apostles and Jesus Christ's ministry. That's why it's not in the Bible. It started up in the 4th century AD. And do you know that when it started, when it was first introduced, that it shocked a lot of people in the religious world, even in the world of Roman Catholic religion? It shocked people. What are we doing here? Why, this is the same date as that pagan festival. Here's a quote from Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia. It says, Christian preachers of the West and the Near East protested against the unseemly frivolity with which Christ's birthday was celebrated, while Christians of Mesopotamia accused their Western brethren of idolatry and sun worship for adopting as Christian this pagan festival. That's how the reaction was when it actually happened. There was a strong protest against it. But over time, as we saw even with the Worldwide Church of God in the late 80s and early 1990s, over time these strong protests were buried under the tidal wave of popular support. Why this appeals to the masses. This is the way to attract a lot of non-believers into the church. We can take their customs, the customs they love, the customs that are so popular, and if we bring them into the church, then hopefully they'll come along into it as well. That's the thing here. Instead of coming out of the world, as Jesus said to his true disciples, you see in this great false religious system, total immersion into the world and society around us. Well, here again, if you go back to that more recent history in the Worldwide Church of God, about 25 years ago, that's all. And there were some, not enough, but there were some that were very angry at what the Tecachas were doing and that protested loudly. Some people even left the church because of the changes, but many didn't. And today, nobody protests. Most people, most members just caved into the pressure. And they're now doing what the rest are doing. Many of them today, of course, are actively participating in these many man-made festivals. And it's at this time of year that we really urge our listeners, our readers, our viewers, to consider what God thinks. What does God think about those who would so casually go along with traditions that are steeped in pagan origins? Think about what Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 7. He said, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many such things like they do." If you're interested in really studying God's word and what he says about these customs, these traditions, you look into the Bible and you quickly realize that God does not accept vain worship. Even if we intend it to be in his honor, he doesn't accept it. We can't take something ourselves and make it religious. We look to God and see what he says about days and festivals that we ought to observe faithfully. Jesus said in John 4 that the true worshipers of God obey him in spirit and in truth. That means the truth of God's word. That's what God's word is. John 17, 17. Thy word is truth. So if it's not based on God's word, what is it? What kind of worship is it? Well, it's certainly not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The plain truth about Christmas is that it's an unbiblical tradition. It's man-made. It's rooted in paganism. And God's word, if we're honest, it actually forbids its observance. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Plain Truth About Christmas, "Most people today take that command of God lightly or as having no validity whatsoever and follow the tradition of men in observing Christmas." See, most just follow. They take God's commands lightly, and they look around them and see what others are doing, and they go along with the crowd. They go along with the flow. And if you look at what verses like Jeremiah 17:9 say about the heart of man being sick, deceived, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God or hostile to God. It's not subject to God's law. That's what Paul said in Romans 8. Man's mind is simply hostile to the laws of God. Mr. Armstrong used to say that if God's law actually commanded us to observe Christmas, there'd be a lot less people doing it. Look into it for yourself. Don't go along like a sheep. Look into it. There's a reason this festival is so popular today. It's because everyone's doing it, at least in the Western world, and because God's law forbids it. Like I said, you turn the tables, and if it were in God's law and commanded to be observed, well, you can be sure hardly anybody would be doing it. Well, one last point to make here. Just look at some of the verses that we cite and quote so often, 2 Corinthians 4:4, about Satan being the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 11 describes a great religious system set up by the devil. Of course, Revelation 12:9 says the whole world's deceived. And so that helps to explain, too, why it's so popular today. But hopefully with what we've covered in this short time, you'll be motivated to look into this for yourself. My father's program from last year, as I say, it's posted at thetrumpet.com today. The Hidden Danger in Keeping Christmas. We played you a short clip from that just a moment ago. And then there's also our booklet, The Truth About Christmas, and other articles that we've written over the years. You can run a search at thetrumpet.com. And also look at the latest, or not the latest, but one we did a couple of weeks ago, a Trumpet Daily video on what you should know about Christmas. That one now has 68,000 views on YouTube. We've had a promotional campaign going on to advertise it. But go and look into this. Study it for yourself. See what God has to say. When we come back, we're going to go through a few listener emails. Quite a few people continue to send in their responses to this program, which we very much appreciate. Keep sending in those messages. Let us know what you think about the program. Let us know how you listen. Let us know where you listen from. Just email us at td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in North Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available to anyone as long as you have internet access. KPCG.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Why Christmas? Where and when did it start? Why do so many people observe it today? What keeps Christmas going? For answers to these questions and more, request The Truth About Christmas. It's an eye-opening booklet that will truly astound you. People seldom stop to consider why they believe the things they believe, why they do the things they do. They simply don't know how they came to believe what they do. In The Truth About Christmas, you will learn why people have come to observe one day above others. As part of this free offer, we would also like to give you another booklet by Herbert W. Armstrong, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which,
God's holy days, which can be found in Leviticus 23, are pure, free from paganism, idolatry, materialism, falsehood, and compromise. And far more than that, they contain spectacular truth that man-made traditions and customs do not, and never have contained. God's holy days map out his divine plan for mankind. They show how God will redeem the vast majority of mankind, living and dead, Christian and pagan, how he will bring them to repentance of their sins, grant them forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and lead them to true, pure religion, an exciting and eternal future. Call now and request these two free booklets, The Truth About Christmas and Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which... To order the free material online, just visit our website at thetrumpet.com. And don't forget to tune in to kpcg.fm every weekday afternoon at 1 p.m. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We got some good response a couple of weeks ago to the Highway Code program. Today I received my official UK driving license in the mail, and in looking at it after I opened up the package, it made me feel like a teenager again. It made me want to ask my father for a new car for this graduation, this upcoming graduation. I'll have to see if he'll go for that. In any event, we appreciate all the comments that you sent in on that particular program. The sad part for me is I get the license today, and tomorrow I'm leaving for the United States, so I won't even be here for the next couple of weeks here in the UK to enjoy having my license tucked away in my back pocket. Maybe I'll take it back to America with me, and if I get pulled over, I don't want to get pulled over, but if I do, maybe I can show them my US license and my UK license and tell them about all my experiences preparing for that license, learning the UK's highway code. Well, I'll be off and about, as I said, traveling back to the States tomorrow. Richard Palmer will be filling in for me down here in the cellar. Hopefully I'll be back on the air Monday morning, bright and early, Oklahoma time. The live broadcast there is at 7 a.m., so that'll be an adjustment for me. But hopefully, if I'm not on Monday, I'll definitely be back Tuesday morning to catch up with you yet again. Just a few housekeeping items. This week's TV program in the UK, Remembering Herbert W. Armstrong. That's the last program in this calendar year. The Mystery of the Ages goal is now at 1,707. So we've all got to be praying for a miraculously fabulous response for this last program of the year, to get us up over 2,000, or at least to get us very close. What a year it's been. Almost 2,000, any way that you look at it. I got an email from one of our workers down in the Australian office, and he told me that for the year they've distributed 191 Mystery of the Ages, and a few of those, he said, have gone to Southeast Asia, but most of them to Australia and New Zealand. So that's a short update from our brothers down under. And as we continue to get listener response, it's amazing how many people comment on the Mystery of the Ages goal and how excited they are for it and how much they're still praying for it, even with 1 weekend left. This first email comes from one of our female listeners who said, I wanted to take this moment to say thank you for the programs and the beautiful music that you share with us. To all who seriously are seeking God's word, this is an awesome sight to listen to. This next email comes from Suriname, one of our regular listeners over there. He says, we love KPCG. It's become the rallying tool around the work of God. I myself listen daily. I just can't miss a day. And I'm anxiously counting the Mystery of the Ages goal every Monday. I know this goal has more to do with our preparation for the kingdom of God than the numbers. What about God awakening in us the desire to give Mystery of the Ages to the whole world? We're called to re-educate the world. And Mystery of the Ages is the main textbook. I'm also reviewing every chapter of Mystery of the Ages for teacher-level study. I like the way you put that. Teacher-level study, digging in. He says, I'm looking in faith for God to give us the 293 responses, but already this rallying tool has been a great success. This next email comes in response to Monday's program when we talked about some of the history of Mr. Armstrong on the radio. It says, thank you for speaking of the beginning of the work on radio. This reminds me of the time I first listened to Mr. Armstrong on CKO radio station in Toronto and how I called the station manager when they canceled The World Tomorrow and then learning that the station went bankrupt. So it brought back some personal memories for this listener. He says, finally, thank you. Thank you, and I appreciate all involved with the broadcast. This next response here comes in response to Tuesday's program this week. He writes, very interesting program. It's amazing how much America resembles ancient Rome. We went through that booklet, The Modern Romans, produced by the Worldwide Church of God back in the mid-1970s. And he says, I'm sending a link of this program to some of my friends. This next email comes from Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. And it says, just listen to your program, the Trumpet Daily Radio. Your part in overcoming sinful habits. This would have been yesterday's. It's up at thetrumpet.com right now if you'd like to go and listen to it, if you haven't already. It says, thank you for the 7 points on overcoming. I was listening and then decided to re-listen and write those points down in my pocket notebook. It was so easy, or rather, it is so easy, to forget if I just listen. This is a very helpful program. We have to take time to think about what you're saying and practice these points. Also, very inspiring to hear a Republican representative speak about the Hezekiah Bulla on the floor of the House. If the listeners will give this some thought and action, they and we will strengthen our will and rule our spirit and build a wall around ourselves for safety, for security. That's from Edmonton, Alberta. This next one comes from Calgary, nearby, also in Alberta. Thank you for promoting one of my favorite booklets, How to Be an Overcomer. I'm saving my second read of it for just before the Passover season. Thank you for sharing the clip of the Florida rep who spoke out against the anti-Jewish sentiment that is becoming even more commonplace in societies that once allied the people of Judah. It says it's refreshing to see that there are still some, even in the world, who will not just follow a multitude. Well, that ties right in with what we covered in the first segment. Along with many others, I too am praying that we will reach our goal of 2,000 copies. Certainly, there have been many other great blessings in getting out so much of the other literature out to the masses as well. It just shows how God will bless a work when He provides the open door, and we just run through it. I've been inspired by today's and other programs to seek out new ways to back God's work and not be so entangled with my worldly concerns. It says, but by studying and by the loving reminders to always seek out God's kingdom and His righteousness, that He will take care of all we need and desire. Finally, he writes, I listen to the radio station on kpcg.fm and usually download the awesome programs to my phone and listen in on the drive to or from work. What a great way to further prepare the mind after prayer and Bible study to help one think on that which is of above. And then finally, this one comes from Norfolk, Virginia. It says, just to say thanks for so many great Trumpet Daily shows. We're living in an evil and dangerous world. Today's program, this is the one on how to be an overcomer yesterday, it makes one have an inward look at one's own life. I've downloaded the show and will listen to it again. I don't have many friends here, so alone, I study and pray and watch world events unfold. I received news updates from the Jerusalem Post, the Times of Israel, and also from Carolyn Glick. I thank you all so much for the magazines and books. I pray that you will reach your target for Mystery of the Ages. So that's just a sampling of some of the emails that we continue to get. Very encouraging emails from you listeners that are scattered all over the world. If you'd like to comment on this program or any of the ones on KPCG, just send those emails to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond. The live stream's at kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and I'll see you next week.